2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, November 18th, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chetchesco. And Chet, with all the craziness going on in France and around the world, we're going to take the listeners away from all that, as the Eagles are certainly making it interesting and giving the fans plenty to talk about.
Yeah, the birds aren't necessarily making it fun, but hey, they're making it interesting. You're right. And we sure have a great guest tonight, one who's going to help us solve all the birds' problems, we hope.
Well, that's right. And when you're talking Eagles, there's no one better to talk about it than our special guest making his third visit to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, the Hall of Famer Ray Dittinger. Ray, welcome back.
Nice to be back, fellas.
Hey, Ray,
well, Ray, I have to ask
you
before we get started, have you calmed down from your post-game excitement the other night?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was going to be such a big deal.
Well, the truth hurts, my friend. Truth hurts to some people.
I guess. I mean, I just sort of reacted to what Chip was saying, and I had no idea that it was going to have quite the echo effect that it did. But, gave people something to talk about for about 24 hours, I guess. I guess people just weren't used to seeing me that agitated after a game. But sometimes certain seasons kind of bring that out in you.
Yeah, Ray, you are an internet sensation now. We know how busy you are every single day during football season, so we really do appreciate you taking the time for us. Let's get right to it. Ray, we all watched the game on Sunday, the penalties, the bad snaps, another killer interception in the end zone, the red zone, the ineffective wide receivers. Why is this Eagles team struggling so much, and why are they so undisciplined?
Well, I think the first part's fairly easy to explain. Frankly, they're just not that good. You know, I mean, it's I think part of it, I've had so many people – you know, this week, just say, you know, what's wrong with this team? And there's the feeling, I think, out there that they have greatly underachieved. And I don't really think that. I just think, you know, if you just look at what they are, you look at the talent on the roster, you look at the way they're constructed, they're just not that good. I mean, they're a mediocre team, and they're probably, you know, at 4-5, they're probably playing a little less than mediocre, but it's not. I think people had this idea, and I'm not surprised, because before the season started, if you asked most people, and not just Eagles fans, but people generally, you know, what this team was going to be, I mean, commonly people were saying, you know, routinely, they'll win 10 games. A lot of people said 11 games. Some people were saying 12 games. I mean, the expectations for this team were very high, probably unrealistically high, for a team that had the kind of turnover that this team had in the offseason. And so now you come to mid-season, and you know, it's kind of time for the old reality check. You know, and you look around, and you know, they're mediocre. But it's a pretty mediocre league if you look around. I mean, you look at the records of the team. It seems like everybody's bunched around either 4-5, 5-5, 5-4. Everybody's kind of there. You have a couple really, really good teams at the top. You have a couple of really inept teams at the bottom. But the bulk of the league is all kind of bunched in the middle, and you know, and those kinds of teams are just kind of playing bumping cars week to week, you know, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. And the Eagles are kind of in that mix, but it's way less than what most people expected. But that's kind of the reality.
One big problem, the wide receivers. Ray, you have as many catches over the past three games as Riley Cooper does. Cooper and Miles Austin, why are they still on this team? I mean, there's got to be better options out there somewhere. I almost have a yearning for Todd Pinkston and James Thrash. How bad is this group of wide receivers?
Yeah, Pinkston and Thrash would look like Terrell Owens and Jerry Rice compared to these two guys.
Yeah, really.
Coming into the season, again, this is not a huge surprise. I mean, when they signed Miles Austin, not, it wasn't just my reaction. I think it was the reaction of a lot of people was like, why? You know, mm-hmm. how long has it been since Miles Austin was a productive player in this league? And, you know, why would you sign him and why would you pay him that kind of money? I mean, it never made sense from the day it was announced. It's not like, again, this is not like this is a huge surprise or disappointment. I mean, Austin has been a non-factor for years now. And you bring him in now and, you know, he was going to be a backup receiver. A guy you probably didn't expect to be on the field a whole lot. And as a backup receiver, you know, your backup receivers have to, they should be, at least, they should be contributors on special teams. But at this point in his career, Miles Austin's not going to be a contributor on special teams. So, you know, I mean, from day one, my reaction was, why is he here? So the fact that he's, you know, he's at this point in the season, I mean, to me, the big problem is he's on the field as much as he is, you know. I mean, for what he represents at this point, he shouldn't be playing at all. I mean, the fact that he's playing as many snaps as he is, I mean, that in and of itself is a real problem. You know, and Riley Cooper is, I mean, this is what he's been for a couple of years now. And I know the coaches, you know, Chip gets asked about it all the time, and Pat Shurmur gets asked about it all the time. You know, what's with Riley Cooper is, you know, he never gets targeted. Not only doesn't he have get catches, I mean, they don't even throw the ball to him. And both Chip and Pat will say, well, no, he's open. He gets open. Well, no, he doesn't. And if he is open, then why aren't you throwing him the ball? I mean, it just, mm-hmm. I mean, they're trying to excuse and explain away things that just on their face don't make very much sense. I mean, right now their wide receiver core is one of the, you know, probably I'd say off the top of my head, three worst in football. I think Jordan Matthews is a good, tough kid who's probably going to finish it. For people who are talking about him having a bad year, he's probably going to finish this year. He's probably going to break the club record for receptions in a season. I mean, unless he gets hurt and misses time, he's going to catch. The record is 90 by Westbrook. I mean, this kid, unless he gets hurt and misses a couple of games, is going to break that. So, I mean, I don't think he's had a bad season. He's had some drops, but you've asked an awful lot of him. The problem is you're getting zero from everybody else. And, you know, the real disappointing one is Aguilar, who I think is a talented player. And I know a lot of people are starting to now compare him and say he's a bust and everything. Well, I think that's way, way premature. He's a talented player who got off to a little bit of a slow start and then got hurt. But I think he's going to be a good player in time. It's just you expected a lot more production earlier than what you've gotten so far. But as far as Cooper and Austin go, I mean, right now they're giving you nothing, but nothing is kind of what I expected.
Hey, Ray, one of our listeners, Fred Hugo, he sent a question in, wanted to ask you, and it's a good question. Why would a team game plan 57% pass plays against a horrible run defense and have a backup quarterback in there, and they continually want to throw more than pass when it's proven that running teams win? And Chip does it all the time, although he preaches that this is a run-first offense. And, of course, Andy Reid did it, you know, back in the day as well.
Mm-hmm. But they are a run-first offense. They do want to run the ball. That is the way it's built. That is the kind of team that he wants to have. Their passing game is really all play action, and that's part of their problem. Their passing game, everything kind of works off the run. Their offense is the pass works off the run, not the other way around. In that sense, it's very different than what Andy Reid was. You know, Andy Reid, everything was about the pass. I mean, there really was very little running component to it. It was all about the pass. With Chip, it's the running game plays off the pass. That's the way they're built, and that's the way they run. And part of the problem that they're having now is because their passing game is so play action based that when you're not running the ball and you're having trouble running the ball, as they did against Miami, they were like 2 yards a carry. Then, you know, those third downs where you're trying to, what's been killing them is their inability to convert on third down, and it killed them again on Sunday. And when your passing game is play action based and it gets to third down and it's third and 9 or third and 11 or third and 13, which it was a lot of the time on Sunday, then if all you have to run is play action, well, it's not going to work. I mean, play action isn't going to work when you're in third and 9. I mean, that's just, and so that's, I think that's a little bit of the problem of the design of the offense is for their passing game to work, the running game has to be real effective. Part of the reason that they passed the ball and looked pretty good throwing the ball in Dallas the week before was the fact that they ran the ball extremely well. So the play action series had real effect because it all fell into place the way it was supposed to. But it really is a run first offense. But right now, with some of the inconsistency and the personnel deficiencies they have on the offensive line, it's hard for them to run the ball as consistently as they would like to.
No official word yet, Ray, but with Sam Bradford hurt, it's almost certain Mark Sanchez is getting his first start of the season this Sunday. Now, Sanchez is known for the occasional bad interception, as we learned again on this past Sunday. But can this team win with Sanchez, and is it possible that he's actually a better fit at quarterback for this team than Bradford?
Well, do you mean long-term, or do you mean like this moment?
Let's say at this moment for the rest of the season.
Well, no, not at this because Bradford has, Bradford's gotten the bulk of the work to this point. Bradford, the Eagles, like most teams, give the backup quarterback very, very little to do. So since training camp and since the season started, I mean, Bradford's taken all the reps with the first unit. So he's, in terms of who'd be the most ready to play right now, if you had to play them, it would be Bradford. But that's not really an option. I mean, Bradford has the concussion, and plus he's got a shoulder separation. So he's out this week, and I kind of doubt with the short week next week that he'll be back for Detroit. I think you're probably going to get at least two games of Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there is a difference between the two players, which I'm sure Kelly will build into the game plan, is that Sanchez does have more mobility than Bradford. Not that Sanchez is going to be confused with Steve Young at any time, but I mean, Sanchez can definitely move around better than Bradford can, and so therefore I think they can actually run some of the read option plays this week, which they really haven't been able to run with Bradford. I mean, Bradford doesn't, I don't think he's had a single designed run all season, which given his injury history I understand, but it does limit Chip's offense. Now that he's got Sanchez there, I think you will see more read option where he will actually take that snap and he'll put the ball in DeMarco Murray's belly and he'll ride the back, and then sometimes he'll hand it off and sometimes he'll tuck it and he'll run it himself. But I think you're going to see that will actually be part of the playbook this week where it hasn't really been in the past because Sanchez does give you a little of that mobility. And I think because he's had some longer time in the system, I think he understands the offense better, and I think the offense – if the idea of this offense really is all about pace, which it really is, I think that Sanchez can move it a little bit faster than Bradford can, and he gives you a little more mobility than Bradford. But at this point, it's a shame that Bradford went out because he was just starting to play better. Not great, but he was starting to play better. So he was trending upward, and that's why you kind of hate to see him go to the sidelines now. I think you're probably going to be – I think the earliest that he could possibly come back is probably the New England game, which is 3 weeks down the road.
And that's unfortunate too, New England.
Yeah, well,
hey,
that
Ray,
that's going to be a tough stretch that they got there. I mean, they got New England, Buffalo, Arizona. I mean, those are three tough opponents and three real physical teams that are going to really bring it to the Eagles. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
Well, you led me right into Mike's next question, Ray. Is Sam Bradford long term? Any chance that he is an Eagle in 2016? And what do you make of all these Colin Kaepernick rumors or rumblings or, the fans' wishes, I guess, at this point?
Well, I mean, it's still half a season to go. I mean, Bradford can write his own ending to the story here based on how he plays when he comes back, when he heals up and when he comes back. If he comes back and plays great down the stretch and takes him to the playoff and, they win a round or something, I mean, I don't think anybody thinks in their wildest dreams that this team – is going to go to the Super Bowl, but let's say he comes back and he runs off a few wins, plays well, and they win the division, which, given the state of the division, wouldn't be that hard. I would say, I don't think you're going to – if the guy takes you to the playoffs and you win a game, I don't think you're going to let him go. But I would say that's unlikely. If you ask me to give you what I think is the most likely scenario here, is I think the next year's starting quarterback is not on the roster right now. I think, Sanchez might hang around as a backup, but if things continue on the same track that they are now, and Bradford comes back and he plays kind of the way he's played to this point, and they finish 8-8-ish and don't make the playoffs, then, Bradford, I don't think you're going to give him a new contract long-term for a lot of money. I think at that point, you'll go out and you'll look for another quarterback and you know, good luck doing that because there aren't that many of them out there. I think the reason that people are kind of intrigued by Kaepernick is that it's pretty obvious that San Francisco is going to have a massive turnover at the end of the season. I'm sure all the coaches will go and a lot of the players will go. And Kaepernick's probably going to go too because I think he really kind of needs to go somewhere and get a fresh start. And, you know, Chip, I mean, Chip doesn't say it, but, I mean, it's pretty clear anybody that knows about him, he really can't run his offense if he doesn't have a quarterback who can run. I mean, he's tried to talk around it, and he's tried to make do with other kinds of guys to this point, but to run his offense the way he wants to run it, he needs a quarterback that can run the ball. He needs a quarterback that can tuck it, take it around the end, and make a big play out of it. That's how this offense is designed to work. And, you know, Kaepernick, even though he has regressed in a lot of areas, and I know his stock isn't what it was a couple years ago, is a guy that has that physical skill set, which is why at the end of this season, if, you know, if Bradford, if they kind of part ways with Bradford, and you know they're not going to commit to Sanchez because if they liked Sanchez that much, he would have been the quarterback this year already. Well, they're going to have to go out and look for somebody, and the guy they're going to look for is going to be a guy that's going to run the ball. And right now there's not going to be anybody available that runs it better than Kaepernick. So prepare yourself. I mean, we had this last offseason was nothing but nonstop 24/7 Marcus Mariota talk. It's going to be all Colin Kaepernick 24/7 from the end of this season right up until the start of next training camp.
Ray, another area of concern is, of course, the offensive line. None were drafted over the last 2 years by Chip. Now we have Jason Peters hurt much of this year, and he's getting up in years. Jason Kelce having a horrible year. There are essentially backups starting at the guard positions. I know they did all right against Dallas, but not so great this past Sunday. How bad is this offensive line right now?
It's not very good. I mean, last week you started three backups. And if you start three of your five starters are backups, it's not going to be very good. Chip made a few miscalculations in his first year as general manager, but that was the biggest one, was not doing more to shore up the offensive line, because that has really come back to haunt him. Jason Peters, you saw at the end of last year, was really starting to struggle physically. He was starting to break down. He was not nearly the player he had been before. And he wasn't going to get any younger in the offseason. So I don't know if anybody really thought that he was going to come back and turn back the clock this year. He's a great player, but he's an aging great player. You let the two guards go, and you just let the backup step in there, and that seemed like it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And then you didn't draft anybody. You didn't draft any young players. You didn't sign anybody in free agency. You just trusted that these guys will be good enough. And over the course of a 16-game season, you're going to find out that they're not. And you certainly saw it on Sunday. I mean, they had a lot of issues on Sunday, and there were a lot of reasons why they lost that game, which they shouldn't have lost, but they did. But if you go back and you look at the tape, I mean, the biggest one was just they got manhandled at the offensive line. I mean, they just got manhandled on the offensive line. They played pretty well actually in Dallas, but with a week to prepare and a week to study, I think the Miami coaches did a really good job of identifying the weaknesses of the players, specifically Dennis Kelly at right tackle, and they just took advantage of him. And I mean, they couldn't get the running game going at all, and your quarterbacks were under way, way too much pressure throughout the game, to the point where you finally wind up getting Sam Bradford knocked out.
Hey, Ray, DeMarco Murray, were the expectations so high that he's looked like a disappointment, or is he just genuinely been disappointing, or is it go right back to that line play you were just talking about?
It's, you know, all part of the same thing. I mean, he with the kind of line play being what it has been, which is, I guess the best term would be inconsistent, sometimes okay, a lot of times not so okay. It'd be hard for just about any back to put up huge numbers. I kind of thought that there's a real history here of running backs who have the kind of workload that DeMarco Murray had last year in Dallas and the fall off that they sustained the following year. 479 touches in one season. If you look at the history of guys that if you like take it from 450 up, guys that have that many carries one year, the next year they almost all have a significant fall off because your body takes such a beating that even if you make it through that one season, It takes so much out of the player that he comes back the next year, and there's no way he comes even close to repeating that. It's just nobody should carry that kind of workload. I mean, and this goes back. I mean, you go through. I mean, you can name Ricky Williams, Priest Holmes, Jamal Anderson, Chris Johnson, Larry Johnson. I mean, almost all the history of guys that have had that huge a workload one year, the next year they all have a dramatic fall off. And, I mean, the only one who was able to get around it was LaDainian Tomlinson, and he's a different kind of runner. But, you know, a guy like Murray, who kind of runs it north and south and takes a lot of hits and breaks a lot of tackles, that was my big question when they signed him was, geez, I mean, do they really know the history of these kinds of backs? Because, and they were talking about the fact, well, he's going to play with Ryan Matthews, and, you know, we're going to share the load, and we're not going to ask him that to carry the ball that much, but that's not really the point. The point is he's going to come to you as a significantly diminished player. It's not a question of sparing his carries now. It's the carries he wasn't spared last year that have taken a lot away from him. And, I mean, he's been okay, but, I mean, you definitely see he's not the same, nearly the same player he was last year. He's definitely slower. He's not breaking as many tackles, and he's certainly not carrying the offense to the degree that he did last year in Dallas when, you know, he may have been the most valuable offensive player in the NFC last year.
Ray, I want to ask you briefly about the Bucs rookie quarterback, Jameis Winston. I know his numbers are nothing special, 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, but he's definitely gotten better since the first month of the season. How is he doing overall, and what sort of challenge does he present to the Eagles' defense?
Much better, much better. I mean, he's definitely trending up significantly. I mean, he got off to a really bad start. I mean, the first game against Tennessee, first pass he threw was intercepted, and he got badly outplayed that day by Mariota. And then he had a really rough game against Carolina, where he threw 4 interceptions and got beat up pretty bad. But he came back from that and then put together a string of games where he played really well. I think his quarterback rating over those next 4 games was like 110 and change. I mean, he played really well. And what you see with him is he has really learned from his mistakes. He didn't get down on himself. He just saw what he was doing wrong. He studied the film, learned from his mistakes, and improved from week to week. He didn't make the same mistake twice, which is, I mean, it's the mark of a pretty mature player and a guy that's understands that that's the nature of the position at this level. But the skill is certainly there. He has a big-time arm. He's a big, strong guy that in the pocket, I mean, you really got to hit him to get him on the ground. He stands tall in the pocket, fights off defenders. Not a scrambler, but he can move a little bit, extend the play, and he can really spin the ball down the field. I mean, he's got a good, strong arm. He reminds me a lot, and I even said this when he was at Florida State. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he's a lot the same kind of player. You know, big and strong and physical in the pocket, can take a hit and sees the field and uses all of his receivers. And he's got an awful lot of ability. And you see him improving week to week. Last week in Dallas, he didn't play all that well. It was a bit of a regression for him. I mean, he threw 2 interceptions and threw a couple of really bad balls. But at the end of the game, when he had to take it down the field at the very end of the game, he did. He drove his team down the field and scored the winning touchdown to win an ugly game, but he won it. And, I mean, that showed me some real growth. He had a tough day, but he fought through it. And in the end, when he had to make the plays to win the game, he did. So, I mean, he's a young guy that I think is going to have a real, real bright future in the NFL. And he's not going to be easy for the Eagles to handle this week. He's a guy that if the Eagles, and I don't know at this point that they can take anybody for granted after what happened last week. They better not take anybody for granted. But he's a guy that's got the arm and the ability to give them problems if they don't take care of business. And he's got a really talented receiver in Mike Evans. So, I mean, they're going to be a handful for the Eagles this Sunday because they're playing well and they seem to be playing with a lot of incentive and a lot of drive.
Hey, Ray, I was one leading the charge about the defense and Billy Davis and not being very good, and maybe he was a little over his head with the Eagles and all that. But, you know, after that Julio Jones torching in week one, I think I'm going to give Billy Davis the credit that defense has straightened up and played pretty darn good for the most part all year. And I got to give my hat off to Billy Davis on that.
They've done well. I mean, the defense has certainly played better than the offense. There's no question about that. And, you know, last week, I mean, it's a very disappointing loss, but you can't really blame it on the defense. The last nine possessions that the Miami Dolphins had, they forced them to punt seven times. The last nine Miami possessions, they got one touchdown. They go out there and they battle you every week. I mean, Barwin does it. The defensive guy, Fletcher Cox has had a really good season. Benny Logan has been very good week in and week out. Jenkins has been very good in the secondary. Thurman's been very good at the other safety position. Maxwell's been up and down. Carroll has generally played well. They've had problems at the inside linebackers, mostly due to injury. But they found a really good young player in Jordan Hicks who played really good football. It's unfortunate they lost him with the injury. But, no, I think defensively, I mean, they're in the top 10 in the league in terms of points allowed, which is the most meaningful stat. I think the defense to me has been better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, I thought it would be okay, but it's been better than that. I mean, on a pretty much a week-in and week-out basis, they've kept you in just about every game.
I agree, and I am really surprised as well. Well, hey, Ray, we like to do this. We're running out of time with you, so we always like to do this. Chet likes to put our guests on the 10-5 hot seat. I think you've been there before with us, and basically he tries to make you sweat a little bit by asking you 10 questions and giving you 5 minutes to answer them. And are you up for it?
Sure.
All right. Hey,
Chet,
Ray,
have at it.
Before we do that, Ray, I just want to mention that your great book out just over a year now, The New Eagles Encyclopedia, is a constant on the coffee table in my man cave, and I check it often. Player profiles, year-by-year recaps, lots of cool pictures. It is truly an amazing book and something that every Eagles fan should own. I love it.
Well, good. It's still out there, and people can get it on Amazon. And I'll be starting probably in another couple of weeks. We get around Thanksgiving time, start doing some book signings at some stores for folks that want to buy it as a Christmas present. Yeah, it was a real fun book to put together, and a lot of history there, and people that are longing for a championship. There haven't been that many, but 48, 49, and 1960 are all duly recorded there.
All right. Ray Didinger, a reminder to keep your answers brief so we can get all 10 questions in. Number one, in light of how things have played out on the field after his various offseason moves, what grade would you give Chip Kelly, the general manager, so far?
D+.
That sounds about right. Now, no shortage of candidates here, but which Eagle has been this season's biggest disappointment?
Probably, I guess by most people's reckoning, it'll probably be DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, him or Nelson Agholor, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, Aguilar's been hurt, so yeah. I'm giving him a little bit of a pass on this one because he has been hurt, I think he's going to be a good player.
I do, too. Now, New England and Carolina are still undefeated. Cincinnati just suffered its first loss. Arizona, 7-2, playing well, while Denver and Green Bay are struggling now. What is the most likely matchup for Super Bowl 50?
I would say the Patriots versus who out of the NFC? I still think it's probably going to wind up being Green Bay. Green Bay has a lot of issues, but they have the best quarterback. So I think you're going to wind up with a – and I said this at the beginning of the year. That was my pick at the beginning of the year, so I'll stay with it. I'll say New England, Green Bay.
All right. Now, I know it's a real crapshoot with the emphasis on crap, but who's going to win the NFC East?
At the start of the year, I said the Eagles would win it at 9-7. And I will stay with that for now. Ultimately, I may be proven wrong, but I'll still say Eagles 9-7. If it's going to be anybody else, the Cowboys are too far gone now at 7 losses. I mean, they're getting Romo back, but it's too late. Washington is starting to put some things together, and Washington could make a little noise here. But I'll say Eagles, and if it's not Eagles, it's going to be the Giants. I think last game of the season, I think week 17, Eagles at Giants will decide it. I think the winner of that game wins the division.
You're probably right. Hey, you generally don't make your Eagles prediction until Thursday morning, but let me ask you this. I will be at the Link on Sunday for the Birds-Bucks game. Will I go home happy?
I'll tell you, I, I think it's almost a toss-up. I mean, I find it hard to believe that they could lose back-to-back games at home to Miami and Tampa. Tampa's better than Miami, and Tampa's no joke. And Tampa could win the game, but I at this point I got to lean towards the Eagles just because I find it so hard to believe that they could, with everything that's on the line, that they could lose back home games back-to-back weeks to teams like Miami and Tampa. So I'll say yes, I think you'll win, but I don't think it's going to be easy.
Yeah, never is. Now, we talked about this during the program, but what is the likelihood on a percentage basis that Sam Bradford is the Eagles' opening day quarterback next season?
10%.
Okay. On a similar vein, what is the chance Matt Rhule is back as Temple's head coach next year?
I may be misreading this whole thing totally, but I'll say 70%. I think I'll say 75%. I think he really loves that school, and I think he feels a real commitment to that school. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be there forever. I mean, I don't know that he's going to be the Bear Bryant of North Broad Street. But I think a lot of people feel like he's going to jump at the first good offer, and he's going to get good offers. But I think he likes that job, and I think he wants to stay.
I hope you're right. Hey, the Peyton Manning era is winding down. He's 39, and he's now out with plantar fasciitis. How highly does Peyton Manning rank among the all-time great quarterbacks?
Might be the greatest regular season quarterback in NFL history. But then you got to take the total picture. I would say he's – I don't think you can compare the players of today with like the players of the past. I don't think you can compare Peyton Manning to John Unitas, for example, because like, they're playing different games because the rules are different. So I'll just say in the modern era, in the Super Bowl era, I would say Peyton is in my top five.
Okay. Works for me. Hey, in 20 seconds, Ray, remind us how you feel about Sam Hinkie and the 76ers process.
I've never believed in it, and I've never believed in it, and they haven't given me any reason. From day one, I never believed in it, and they haven't given me any more reason to believe in it. I just find it abhorrent that you deliberately lose games to chase ghosts of a season down the road. I think I'm with Herman Edwards. You play to win the game, and what this team has been doing now for 3 years to me, it's the counter opposite of what professional sports and real competition is supposed to be about.
I hear you. Hey, Ray, my Macklin and McCoy jerseys are obsolete now. My Selig jersey probably has only a short lifespan to it. Is there a jersey I could buy that'll still be relevant in 3 or 4 years?
Well, before last Sunday, I would have said Dornbos, but now that's even in question. I would say Ertz. I would say Ertz has a chance to have some staying power here.
All right, and one bonus question, Ray. Just I have to know: are you ever tempted to open a Twitter account?
No.
I didn't think
easy,
so.
Easiest question of the night.
All right, Ray Dinger, you've done it again. No problem at all in surviving the 10-5 hot seat.
Well, that was good. They were easy questions.
Yep. Took it easy on you tonight.
Well, Ray, I think we've used up all of our time with you, and we certainly appreciate you coming. And hopefully post-game live this coming Sunday will be a whole lot more sane than this past Sunday.
Yeah, let's hope so. I always look, you know, I don't know how many more of these losses the governor can take. He's not taking it very well himself.
No, there didn't look like there was anybody very happy on that panel.
No, it was a pretty gloomy night. Hopefully it'll be better this time.
Thank you, Ray.
Absolutely. Well,
Ray, all right,
thanks
take
a lot.
Care, Bill.
We appreciate
it. See you, Chet. Thank
take
you.
Care.
All right,
bye
thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Chet, great stuff. What do you think?
Love having Ray on. He tells it like it is, and he always, you know, gives you some great answers and something to think about. So always great to have Ray on the program.
All right. Well, hey, here's what we're going to do, Chet. We're going to take our break. We're going to ask our throw our trivia question out there. Then we're going to open the phone lines up. If anybody wants to call and comment on anything that Ray said, we'll leave the lines open to do that. And in the meantime, we'll talk a little Flyers and Sixers, too. But if listeners want to call and give their quick comments on anything Eagles or on anything from Ray, the lines will be open. So we'll give you that number here in just a minute. Okay, let's take a break. Thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. You have any questions? Contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, Chad, it's trivia time, and this is a pretty easy one, too. I keep making them easier and easier so we can give these great prizes away. So our winner will be winning an 8x10 photo of Invincible, Vince Papale, autographed picture courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first person that calls in and correctly answers our trivia question. Our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer that question, 929-477-2855. All right, Chet, I'm going to make this as easy as it gets, easier than everything we've ever done. Who leads the 2015 Eagles in touchdowns scored after 9 games? Can't get any easier than that. Again, our shopforkisses.org phone number to answer the trivia question, 929-477-2855. Okay, if anyone, to follow up on what I said a little bit ago, if you want to call in, talk Eagles, even if you don't want to take a shot at the trivia question, it is the same phone number, 929-477-2855. Chad, in the meantime, do you have any key points you want to follow up with, any comments that Ray made? Anything surprise you?
No, nothing really. I mean, I find myself agreeing with the way Ray thinks most of the time. So, you know, nothing really surprised me. The Eagles are just a tough team to figure out this year. You know, maybe we thought they had a little more talent than they really do. I was kind of fooled to thinking that they were going to be a better team. I thought the wide receivers would step up more than they have this year. But, yeah, I agree with pretty much everything he said.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I've said all season long, and I got chastised by the people that think I'm a hater, is I've said, and Ray said the exact same words to answer the very first question you asked them, they're just not that good. This team is just not that good, and they haven't been from the beginning of the year. I will say I didn't think they were going to be this bad. You know, I thought they would, but I guess I should clarify that a little bit, because I thought the NFL would be better. I thought the games would be better. But I thought they would lose to some teams. I never expected them to just be playing kind of ugly football week in and week out for good portions of the game. That part surprises me.
They haven't played one full complete game yet this season. We're 9 games in, so that's troubling. And, you know, his first answer in the 10-5 hot seat question, when I asked him to grade Chip Kelly, the general manager, he said D+. That's quite an indictment of, you know, what he thinks as far as Chip's moves are concerned.
Yeah, and you know, I was surprised. You caught me a little bit off guard, because I thought your second question was going to be to grade Chip Kelly, the coach. But you didn't hit him up with that one.
Yeah, and I should have. You're right, I should have. I had so many questions. I was just kind of skipping around, wanted to get 10 of them in.
Right. Hey, I think we have a caller. See if we have a trivia answer or if we're just going to talk some Eagles. Hello, welcome to the show. Who do we have?
Hey, guys, how's it going? It's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great.
Doing great. You have a trivia answer for us, or you just want to talk some Eagles right quick?
Yeah, I'll take a shot at the trivia question first.
All right.
I believe the answer is Ryan Matthews.
It is Ryan Matthews with six touchdowns so far. A little tricky on that one, because 5 were runs and 1 was a catch. But it is 6, and you're the winner of the Vince Papale autographed picture.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right.
So,
hey,
yeah,
while we have you, Ryan, what let's get a quick thought from you. What do you think of the Eagles last Sunday, and what do you see this Sunday?
Oh, last Sunday was an absolute disaster. I mean, I was so thrilled when they came out and they started putting points on the board, and then they got the safety, and it was like, yeah, this is finally going to be the game that they put it all together. And then the wheels fall off, and Bradford goes out, and it just all went to hell, and I'm like, how does this even happen? If it wasn't for the defense, I think we would have lost worse than we did. So, but I've been meaning to get your guys' opinion on this. What do you think of Malcolm Jenkins this year?
I think Malcolm's playing quite well. He was solid last year. He had a couple interceptions that he could have had but dropped them. This year I think he had another drop also like that. But I think otherwise he's playing pretty well as far as coverage.
Yeah, I would think – I think he's having a Pro Bowl season myself.
Yep.
I think he's been solid. Like I say, he's dropped a couple balls that I sure wish he hadn't dropped, but he's been pretty solid every week.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the guy's opinion. I think he I'd put him in contention possibly for a defensive player of the year. I don't know about you guys.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but definitely a Pro Bowl candidate.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know about that. Like I say, that have to do a little homework to study that. But for watching him week in and week out, solid, no doubt. Certainly mm-hmm. the defensive MVP on this team.
Yeah, definitely.
No doubt about that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Ryan. Well, hey, do me a favor if you would. Drop me your address. Just send me a private message with your address over on Facebook, and we will get this picture out to you, okay?
Awesome. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, Ryan. Thanks, my friend. All right, Chet. Let's see if we get any other callers that want to talk Eagles, we'll get them on. But let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the Flyers and gee whiz, 18 games in, they have 16 points, 6 wins, 8 losses, 4 ties. They're tied for 13th place out of 16 at the moment, but hey, there is some good news. The 7th place team has just 21 points, so there's 5 points spread between 7 and 13. Can this team right the ship and get back in the hunt?
Can they? Sure. The season's not even one quarter over as yet, Bill, but they've got to find some more scoring somewhere. Voracek finally got a goal the other night, but he and several other forwards are still underperforming. The team is averaging just 1.9 goals a game. Now, only Anaheim is worse in terms of offensive ineptitude. It's very difficult to win when you're not scoring at least 2 goals a night. Now, will they right the ship? I don't know. We shall see.
All right. Well, hey, we got another caller right quick. Let's jump on and see who we have. Hello, welcome to the show. Who we have?
Hey, guys, it's Frank. How are you tonight?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank. How's it going?
Doing pretty good. Sitting back here, doing a little rehab, getting back in shape here. But listen, I tell you, the show was great. I know I kind of lost my bearings on what the dates have been, but I was pretty fired up yesterday waiting for this show, but I was having some sporadic interference here and there, but I got to tell you, what blew me away was when I had a chance to listen to him. I don't know if you guys actually caught the post-game live show the other night, but I'll tell you what, he was going off.
Mm-hmm.
I never, ever, I mean, you got a Hall of Fame professional analyst there, sports writer, what have you, with all the caliber of prestige in the world behind him, and for him to show the amount of frustration and it was just beyond me. And I think he conveyed it to the audience tonight that was listening for you. I think it was a very good show. I think he was a great person to have, as he always is.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Frank, what do you think? What's your quick take on what you saw last week and what you're hoping to see this week?
Well, I think what we really have to come to grips with is, and I get tired of hearing this. I mean, you know, I pretty much lay it on the line for you, but I get tired of hearing, well, you know, it was the 3-5 Dolphins. You should have beat them. You know, this team isn't that good. You should have whooped them. Well, guess what? let's look in the mirror. This team that we're looking at right now isn't very good. I mean, what he has done, how he dismantled this team, and I think what we have to do here is now it's got to come full circle on Jeffrey Lurie because he's allowed this to happen. You know, and nobody's heard from him.
No,
he doesn't come out too often.
He's got to be wondering what he did too, I think, at this point.
I would think so.
I think we got 1 year left next year that he's got left, and I think after that he's walking. I really do.
Wouldn't be surprised. I do too.
The only thing, you know, the one thing I wonder is if this season doesn't go well the rest of the way out, and let's just be ugly here, and let's just say they end up 7-9 and out of the playoffs. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but say that happens. With all these big college jobs open, I wouldn't be surprised if, Texas is not open yet, but somebody like Texas comes along and says, you know what, we'll buy out his contract and we'll make the Eagles whole and he's out of here. It wouldn't surprise me. He's got to realize, like we realize, that maybe he's not quite ready for the pro game yet.
You know what's funny about him as a coach is if you watch him on the presser that's after the game, he is the most arrogant, cocky. I can't even stand listening to him, let alone look at him. But then on Monday, he sits there with his tail between his legs, and he just avoids the questions like the plague. And, Bob Ford was hammering him pretty good the other day, and he tiptoed his way around everything, and it's just the way he is. I mean, say what you want, but Andy Reid was never, I don't think, as distasteful to people as this guy is.
Yeah, Chip is
absolutely.
Anyway, thanks for having me on. I know it's been a while. I'm trying to get back into good graces here, but you guys take care, and it was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks.
Get healthy, Frank. Take care.
All right, Frank. Well, hey, Chet, let's move along. I think our winner of this week's Pick'em Pool is Rob Hernandez, and Rob is trying to get on to us, I think. He just sent me a note saying he's trying to get on, but we haven't got him hooked up yet. But, hey, if we get him, we'll definitely get him on. But he was 10-4 for the week. And, you know, Rob is a diehard Eagles fan from the great state of Texas. And I wanted to ask him about that because I'm sure he has 365 days of having to deal with them people out there. So it should have been fun. But, hey, interestingly enough, as you looked at the standings for the week, the auto picks beat all the leaders this week. It was a crazy week, but Rob ended up with 10 wins out of it.
Yeah, well, it was a crazy week. I was 4-10 myself. I mean, there were upsets galore. A lot of the road teams won. They weren't supposed to win. So, yeah, after I went 4-10, I can't talk about anybody else.
Well, I can't be just because it's fun. But, hey, Carl Henderson is still the season leader. He's holding on to a two-game lead over Terry House. Ed Chambers and Danny Bevins, our buddies, are both 2 games back. And interestingly, without the drop week, Danny actually has more weeks than Carl, or more wins than Carl. But that's not how the rules work, and that's how we set him up from the beginning. So, and Chad, I'm going to promise you that I'm not going to pick on our good friend Bob Sullivan, Captain Kool-Aid,
since
he actually improved on his 3-10 last week by going 4-10 this week. That's 7-20. That might get you fired. What do you think?
Bob loves you, I could tell.
But, hey, I'm glad he's not betting my money. But, hey, I do want to shout out to my other buddy, Chip Brady. Play like a Raven. He had a fantastic 2-12 record this week. And, of course, Chip's another Notre Dame fan, so we got to give him the business. But he pulled up the rear this week at 2-12.
Nice.
Well, hey, we have another caller, but we don't have Rob yet. So let's go ahead and let's see who we have. Who we have?
Aloha.
Oh. Aloha. We got a call all the way from Hawaii, Chet.
Oh, no.
You guys are worldwide. You're worldwide, guys.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
How can you have a, how can you have a show without taking a shot at Sullivan?
Well, I did. I made sure I got a jab in there at him.
Oh, man, you got to spank him. I was on the mainland, and I'm telling you, I'm going after the title.
You think you're going to make up these couple games on Carl?
Yes, this week. I'm thinking of probably about 11 wins, 12 wins will do it.
Well, you know, Danny keeps saying that he's just trying to stay steady, pick up at a game at a time, that at the end of the day, everybody's going to be chasing him.
Good luck with that. to win this pool, you've got to get off the Eagles.
You're probably right about that.
That was my secret in the beginning, is I was going against the Eagles for the most part. But I will tell you, they blow away Tampa this weekend.
Okay.
The defense will rise and remind Jameis Winston he is a freshman in this league. They take out Tampa.
Right. Hope you're right.
They take out Tampa. Aloha,
all
guys.
Right.
Good talking to you.
Take care.
All right, Ed. Fly safe. See you. Probably see you this weekend.
Yep.
All right. Chet, I want to hit one more thing with you. Rob is still trying to get through, I guess, but I don't know. He's not showing up on my screen, so I don't know what exactly is going on there. But, hey, I wanted to hit you with one other thing. The 76ers, they're 0-11. And let me read this list of teams for you. Indiana, Charlotte, Miami, Minnesota, Boston, Houston, and Memphis make up the rest of November. Are they going to win a game before December 1st? And if not, they would be 0-18. Talk to me, my friend.
And I think six of these next seven are on the road also, so that makes the challenge even tougher. Now, we knew November was going to be a rough month with so many new faces and Tony Roten and Kendall Marshall still out injured. They will steal a win, though, before the month is over. It may come Friday when they take on Charlotte. That could be the one. That's going to be my pick. They're going to beat Charlotte, okay? They're going to steal a win here or there, and hopefully a month from now they'll have these other guys back healthy, and they'll snag a few more victories on the way to, I don't know, maybe 15 for the season.
15. You're still holding on to that 15, huh?
Yeah,
I was looking a little further. I was looking a little further, but I didn't want to push you too far. At the end of December, come the new year, I believe they will have played 30 games. How many are they going to win out of 30? That's getting to almost half season, right? 40-41 be half the season.
Probably about four. 4-26. Then they're going to turn it on in January. You wait and see.
4-26. Okay. I'm going to write that down and make a note. I'm going to hold you to that.
All right.
I am going to hold you to that. Okay. Hey, let's go over and let's talk, get this update on the signings of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. And Eagles' Josh Huff and Cedric Thornton will be in the store. That's tomorrow night, Chet. That's a Thursday night, November the 19th. So that's probably going to be Carl's last signing for the year, I think, unless something comes up a little bit unexpected. But it's never too early to start your Christmas shopping, and no place better to do it for a Philadelphia sports fan than Carl's Card. So you can get more information on his website at carlscards.com. On Twitter at Carl's Cards, or by calling the store 610-789-4996. All right, Chet, it is time for you and I to make our fearless Eagles Buccaneers predictions of the week. You are up, my friend.
Well, because I no longer have any idea what the hell to expect from this Eagles team, I'm not going to make a traditional prediction this week. Instead, Bill, I put 30 little white pebbles into a cup with those pebbles marked with numbers ranging from 6 to 35 that will pick the score for me this week. Each team's going to score at least 6 points, okay? Now, here we go. So, I am picking Tampa Bay's score first. Right here, and I'm picking the Eagles' score now. Oh, and according to my little pebbles, Tampa Bay, 18. Eagles, 27. The pills say 18, Eagles win 27-18.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to keep it a whole lot simpler than that. I am going to go with Eagles 23, Buccaneers 21, with a late field goal to win.
23-21, right. Birds, you said.
That's right, on a late field
okay.
goal. And, you know, I hope I'm right because I've been wrong with them all year long. Hey, we have one more caller. Let's see if we can slide in one more caller, Chip, before we get to our parting shots, all right?
Go ahead.
Hello, welcome to the show. Who do we have?
Hey, Bill, this is Robert from Texas. Hey, Chip.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob. Glad you got through,
you
my
doing,
friend.
Guys? Thank you,
hey.
Sir. How are you guys doing?
Great. Hey, we wanted to what's that?
I can listen to Ray Dittinger all day. That guy's great.
He's awesome.
Absolutely.
He's
absolutely. Well, hey, first of all, we wanted to congratulate you for winning the pool this week. You got 10 wins, and that was awesome because everybody else seemed to have a pretty miserable week. But more importantly, because we're short on time, I have to ask you, what is it like living in the great state of Texas or whatever they call that out there when you are a diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan?
It was tough when I was younger, but nowadays it's not too bad. There's a lot of Eagle fans down here, and believe me, there's more Steeler fans down here. Because the year the Cowboys are having this year, you don't see too many fans around right now. They're back in their mouse rat holes, whatever you want to call it. So it's pretty fun right now. Other than the fact that the Eagles are struggling, it's been kind of frustrating.
Right. So you get to give them the business a little bit.
Yeah, I get to give them the business a little bit right now, but, you know, it's kind of hard when Bradford's playing the way he is and the coaching is the way it is right now. So.
Right. Chet, you have a question for Rob?
What do you think this Sunday? Eagles going to beat Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I think they're going to beat Tampa Bay. They're going to have a problem with Mike Evans, just like everyone else is, but I think they should beat him. I don't know. These receivers need to run routes past the sticks. It's like every game, it's the same frustrating things. They're running 5-yard routes and we need 8 yards. It seems to me the coaches keep calling the same plays over and over, and I don't understand. When Chip Kelly was hired, he was billed as his genius, his innovator, and I don't see it. I don't see the adjustment. I don't see the improvising. I don't see it.
Me neither, Rob. And I think that's the mystery that we're all going through at this point. Well, hey, I hate to have to cut you short, but we're about out of time. We appreciate you keeping fighting to get through to us, and we'll get you back on again, okay?
All righty, guys. Have a good night.
Take care.
All right, Rob. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, Chet, while we have just a couple minutes, you have a parting shot, and I will tell you I don't. So you got a couple extra seconds for your parting shot tonight, Mr. Chet.
I'll try to keep it to about 45 seconds. This Flyers season has been fairly lackluster, Bill, but this coming Monday night, one of my favorite ex-Flyers will be enshrined into the team's Hall of Fame. He's a guy who played 20 seasons in the NHL. That includes 8 with the Flyers in the 1990s. Rod Brind'Amour was a real team leader. He personified Flyers hockey. In 633 career games with the Flyers, Brind'Amour recorded 235 goals, 366 assists for 601 points, and that still ranks among the franchise's all-time leaders in several categories. I was really bummed when he got traded to Carolina in the fall of 1999, but he went on to play 10 more NHL seasons and won a Stanley Cup with the Hurricanes. He's now an assistant coach there. Congrats to Rod Brind'Amour on an amazing career and soon the newest member of the Flyers Hall of Fame.
Great parting shot. Couldn't agree with you more. Okay, so as we get to the top of the hour, let's thank our special guest, Hall of Famer Ray Dittinger, Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continuing support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chetchesco, this is Bill Furman, hoping you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, November 25th at 7 p.m. You can listen through our Facebook page or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio, and now on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.